thefibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Thank you for joining me tonight for my Tuesday night Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia teleconference. I look forward to your questions this evening. A little bit about me. I'm a board-certified chiropractic physician, a board-certified nutritional specialist. I've been in private practice for 24 years. The last 18 years, I have specialized in fibromyalgia. For a number of years, I owned a very large integrative medical practice on the campus of Brookwood Hospital here in Birmingham, Alabama. In 2003, I sold that practice, and I've been practicing solo ever since. My book, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, is now in its fifth edition and available in most bookstores, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, as well as other sites. For the last 7 years, my practice has evolved to where 95% of my practice is phone consults, and I get to work with patients all over the world. Each and every Tuesday night, I host a free call-in program with this access code and the same call-in number you've used tonight. And for those of you who are listening to the replay of this and have not registered, I would encourage you to register so that you can get this access code and number so you'll have it in the future. And you can do that at fibroexpert.com. Tonight is a special edition of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia because I'm going to be going over what I consider a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I'm going to be talking about do you have a stupid doctor? And this is really kind of a farce, but using Jeff Foxworthy's old you could be a redneck if. And it occurred to me after watching one of his old repeat performances with using that bit, that's kind of what I hear with a lot of my patients who encounter doctors who just really don't have a clue. And it used to be that I thought that it was a rarity that patients would encounter doctors that just didn't have a clue. And unfortunately, I think if anything, maybe it's getting a little worse. Fibromyalgia has certainly been put on the map, and we have drugs that are specifically for fibromyalgia. I think there's part of that is good because it did put fibromyalgia on the map. But for most people, I think Lyrica is a disaster. The studies show that only about 30% of people who take Lyrica actually benefit. The other 70% have trouble, can't tolerate or it really doesn't do anything. Of the 30% who can take it, about 50% of them actually see a 50% improvement in their symptoms. But most people really struggle with that medication as well as Cymbalta and Savella. They're not really sure if those medications are helping. But what really gets me upset, and I'm sure it does for those with fibromyalgia because I hear it all the time, is that patients will often encounter doctors who really just don't have a clue about fibromyalgia. And their ignorance is infuriating both to the patient and also to myself, because unless you've got fibromyalgia or you've been around people who have fibromyalgia, as I have for the last 18 years, it's really hard to understand what they're going through. And unfortunately, many doctors don't believe that fibromyalgia exists. Sad but true, but we still have that problem. We also have doctors who will tell the patient that all they need to do is just to get some more exercise, lose some weight, get some more rest, get a good night's sleep, maybe improve their sex life, take an antidepressant, and that's going to help them. The problem with that mentality is that, first of all, I know from working with my patients over the last 18 years, number one, they would love to get more rest. They would love to be able to get a good night's sleep. But the problem is they can't sleep. That's the whole challenge with fibromyalgia. It's one of the biggest hurdles that has to get over. If you don't improve that, you don't stand a chance of ever getting your fibromyalgia under control, because that deep restorative sleep is critical for raising your stress coping hormones and chemicals and allowing you to be able to handle stress. It also is important to raise your pain threshold. When you don't go into deep restorative sleep, you increase your inflammatory chemicals by 40%. Obviously, if you're not getting a deep restorative sleep, then the next day you're going to be tired, you're going to be fatigued. that you're also going to have more pain. And because you're not making deposits into your stress coping savings account, you're going to find that stress is magnified. We make deposits into our stress coping savings account, which allows us to be able to have stamina and resistance to stress by getting deep restorative of sleep. And the more stress that we're under, the more we use those deposits, use those reserves to help us deal with that stress. But those with fibromyalgia hadn't slept in years, or if they are sleeping, it's not a very good deep sleep. And if they are getting some sleep, most of the time they're relying on one or more prescription sleep medications, all of which have been shown to increase the risk of death, like smoking a pack of cigarettes. All those medications have potential side effects. Ambien can cause diffuse achy muscle pain. It can cause fibro fog, cause anxiety, depression, poor memory, mental clarity issues, balance issues, and coordination. All the things that you would associate with fibromyalgia all can be caused by Ambien. And same is true with trazodone and Elavil and Remeron and many of these other medications. So the thing is, we don't know, is it the medication that's contributing to the symptoms of fibromyalgia, or is it true fibromyalgia? And that's one of the difficulties with fibromyalgia. There's so many symptoms that if you try to cover up all the symptoms with each symptom with a different prescription medication, you run the risk that you create more symptoms because of the side effects of the medications. So when you encounter a doctor that tells you something like you just need to get more sleep, or they tell you that you just need to exercise, well, you know, you would love to exercise. And many of my patients relate that that's one of the things they miss the most, that before they came down with fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome, they used to be very active. Some of them were incredibly active. Some of them were top athletes. And before all this happened, and it's, you know, it's one of the saddest things is they can, not only can they not exercise, but for them, it is a Herculean chore just to walk down the driveway some days and retrieve the mail. For many, they've given up on even going to the grocery store. They've given up on doing any type of physical exertion because they're concerned that if they overdo it, they're going to pay for it. And that's what happens a lot of times with fibromyalgia, because you've bankrupted your stress coping chemicals. Stress is magnified, and when you overdo it, you don't have the stamina. Whether that's stamina for physical stress, being, you know, going for a going out and shopping, you know, all day, or that's going to the grocery store, or that's walking around the block, even, you know, trying to walk the dog. But it's also mental stress as well. So trying to process data. I mean, forget doing your checkbook. Forget trying to figure out your smartphone, you know, something on there. But even stimulation, any kind of stressor like changes in the weather, traffic jams, loud noises, sounds, lights, all those things are stressors. And when you have depleted your stress coping chemicals, it's magnified. And unfortunately, while exercise is a really healthy thing, it's still a stress. Now, it's a good stress. So for the people who don't have fibromyalgia, it's an incredible healthy thing to do. But if you've bankrupted your stress coping chemicals, then you can't handle any additional stress. That's part of the things you've got to fix. If you have adrenal fatigue, your stress coping glands are not working to release cortisol and DHEA like they're supposed to, you're going to find that stress is so magnified that you have little to no resistance to it. So if you overdo it, you crash. Even if you have a good day, you get a good night's sleep two or three nights in a row, which is, you know, miraculous in and of itself, and then you overdo it for a day or two, you know, because you actually felt good and you don't know when you're going to feel good again, so you overdo it. But then you crash for two or three days. You could wind up back in bed. A lot of patients I work with are nurses and doctors, and they work all week. Somehow they drag themselves to work every day, and it's exhausting. But they do it at a commitment to their patients. But then on the weekend, that's it. They're done. They can't even get out of bed the whole weekend. So their whole life evolves around being able to manage this illness, this thing called fibromyalgia. But stress is something that is magnified in fibromyalgia. So a doctor could tell a patient that they just need to exercise more. They don't have a clue what that patient's going through. They don't realize that for many patients with fibromyalgia, it was like running a marathon just to get up and if it's a female, to put their makeup on and get dressed, get a shower, do all those things and get ready, get in the car, and oftentimes to be driven in the car to go see the doctor, wait in the waiting room, have all that stress that goes with that, and then to meet with the doctor, knowing that this doctor may be like every other doctor and just poo-poo them out the door or may dismiss them as being hypochondriac. That's an incredible, difficult thing to do. And then for that doctor to tell them, you just need to exercise more. That shows me they just don't have a clue. It's just a doctor that is very, very ignorant. Then many doctors will say, you just need to lose weight. You're carrying around 40 pounds, 60 pounds. And some patients that I work with are carrying around over 100 extra pounds. And part of the reason that is because they have a problem with their thyroid that's never been corrected. It's never been found because doctors are not doing the right testing. And they'll look at that patient and they will come to the erroneous conclusion that, you overeat, you don't take care of yourself, and because you got all this extra weight, that's your problem. Well, what they don't realize is this extra weight is not the problem. Now, it's a byproduct of the problem, but the problem is that the patient's metabolic system, their energy system, broke down years ago. And because of that, it doesn't matter what they eat or don't eat, they're going to gain weight. Compound that with the problem that many patients are taking medications that actually increase their weight gain, including Lyrica, gabapentin, pregabalin, Neurontin, Seroquel, benzodiazepine, certain antidepressants. So those medications actually increase the weight gain. And for a doctor just to look at a patient and say, this person's just overweight, they just need to lose weight, they don't have a clue what they're talking about, because it wouldn't matter what that patient does with their diet. And many have tried over and over and over again. They've done every fad diet that's out there. They know that they're 100 pounds overweight. And they realize that that's part of the problem, and they feel bad about it. But you don't need a stupid doctor making the patient feel any worse about it. What you need is a doctor that realizes that the reason why they're overweight is they have a problem. It's not that their problem's overweight. It's the other way around. And so if the doctor says that, it's kind of like saying to the patient, you're just depressed. And so what we need to do is get you on antidepressant. All you need is some Celexa, or some Cibella, or Cymbalta, or Prozac, or Paxil, and you're going to feel better. Well, again, that's a stupid doctor, because what they don't realize is fibromyalgia is not brought on by depression. Depression is brought on by fibromyalgia. If you had your life taken away from you to where year after year you find that you're withdrawing further and further from life, to where the things that you used to do, now you can't do, to where you don't know whether this is going to be a good day or a bad day. You don't know whether you're going to have the flu from hell today or not have the flu from hell today. You don't know what you're going to be able to do. You can't plan to socialize with your friends anymore. You can't plan vacation trips because you don't know if this is going to be a good day, a bad day, a good week, bad week. You totally start to hibernate, and as this thing gets worse and worse, you find you withdraw further and further from life. Until you almost are a recluse. You don't even want to go out. You certainly don't want to talk on the phone. You lose your relationships with family members, friends. A lot of times you have to give up work. So for the doctor to tell you that you're just depressed, they just don't know what they're talking about. And so the other thing that I see is that the doctor is going to tell you that, you just have a drug deficiency. They don't come out and tell you that, but what they just tell you is, let's try another drug. What they're doing is they're trying to cover up your symptoms with one medication after the next. The problem with that is that there, like I said earlier, there's just so many dadgum symptoms. So if you're on a drug to put you asleep, a drug to wake you up, a drug for pain, a drug to go to the bathroom, a drug to calm you down, a drug to rev you up, a drug for your headaches, a drug for overactive bowel, a drug for restless leg syndrome, a drug for IBS. I mean, before you know it, you're on half a dozen to 12 drugs, and you don't even know, are they working, because you're taking so much stuff, you don't even know. And again, you're having good days and you have bad days. So is the medication working? Who knows? I mean, you feel so bad anyway, so who would know? And many doctors have come to the erroneous conclusion at this point. What medicine has decided is fibromyalgia is something that you have to live with. And that's their mentality. So they've come to this conclusion that all they have to offer is medications to help you cope with the symptoms, to reduce them, but you're going to have to learn to live with it because it never goes away. And that's just not true. So many people have bought into that because the traditional conventional medical system has been brainwashed to think that. Now, the reason why they think that is because in the beginning they thought that fibromyalgia was going to be another illness that they could come up with a drug that would then be helpful, like type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes, you've got elevated blood sugar. We can get you on metformin, glucophage, and we can get your glucose level down to where it's not an issue. Of course, you know, the problem with that is with type 2 diabetes, what you're doing is you're treating the symptom, which is a high blood sugar, and you're not treating the problem, which is for type 2 diabetes, usually, not always, but usually, if someone is, 20, 30, 40, 100 pounds overweight. But at least in that case, we have a drug that can certainly reduce that blood sugar, and it can avoid many of the symptoms that would happen if you didn't do that. With fibromyalgia, what we found is that the drugs just didn't work. They found that early on in the early 90s and mid-90s when they were recommending Elavil and Flexeril and non-steroidal anti-inflammatories and these other medications. What they found is those medications really were no better than a sugar pill after a period of time. They were not effective. The pharmaceutical industry came along and they said, well, look, we've got this huge population, 10 million people and growing, that have fibromyalgia. Nothing's working. We need to come up with something that we can market to that group and capture that market. So what came along was, Savella and Cymbalta and Lyrica. All three of those medications, though, are inadequate in being able to really make a true difference in how the patient feels. Now, I'm not saying that they can't be helpful. They can, and some people are benefiting from those medications. But I will say this, long-term, that's not going to be the case. I can tell you from doing this 18 years, I've seen it all, and those medications eventually stop working if they're working. And again, you don't know. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors like Savella and Cymbalta, these antidepressants, the studies show that in 70% of the time, a sugar pill is just as effective. Now, that's from a meta-analysis which looks at thousands and thousands, hundreds and hundreds of studies and thousands of patients. And what it shows when they compare a sugar pill to these medications, that the sugar pill is just as effective. Now, I'm not telling you to stop your medication, far from that, because there's a time and a place. What I want you to consider, though, is that you can't drug your way out of fibromyalgia. It's just too complicated. There's too many symptoms. You can't cover them all up. It just can't be done. And we need to realize that every drug has a potential side effect. So what happened is doctors started to realize that these patients kept coming back and coming back and coming back, and it didn't matter what they gave them. They kept giving them more and more medications. And finally, rheumatologists got to where they wouldn't, and this is where we're at now, they won't even take new fibromyalgia patients. They don't want to see them. They don't have time for them. They don't want to deal with them because they're too complicated, they're too hard, and nothing works for them. The patients still come back every 3 months, and they're still complaining about how fatigued they are, how run down they are, about this restless leg syndrome, the irritable bowel, and the patient's been referred out to the GI doctor and the neurologist and the psychiatrist, and the pain, now they're getting referred out to the pain doctor. Everybody's going to the pain doctor now. Now what's happening, which is very scary, is that everybody's getting on pain meds because we realize in the conventional world that we really don't have much for the person. Yeah, we can put them on Lyrica. Some people respond. Most people do not. We put them on Savella or Cymbalta and on antidepressant therapy. Some people respond. Most people do not. We put them on Ambien to help them sleep. But eventually, the pain's still going to be there, and they're going to have to start off with Ultram or Tramadol. And then when that quits working, then they're going to have to get something stronger and stronger. And the family doctor or most general practitioners and rheumatologists, they don't want to deal with that. They don't want to get caught up in this whole pain medicine scandal that's going on through, you know, in our country right now. And so what they do eventually, they refer the patient out to get pain medications. The problem with pain medications is that they quit working. So I'm not anti-pain medications, and I used to say, and I still believe this, is that for some of my patients, if I had to, I'd go out on the street and I'd panhandle. I'd do whatever it took to help them get pain medication if I knew that it would work long term. The problem with the pain medications, though, is you build up a tolerance to them. And so you may start off with Ultram, Tramadol, and then eventually that quits working. It's just not strong enough. So then you go to oxycodone, and then you might go from, you know, you start taking more and more of that, and then you go to a fentanyl patch, an analgesic patch, and Zohydro is like the atomic bomb now that just came out. And what I'm seeing in my practice is I'm having young adults in their early 20s, right off the bat, I'm talking about within the first 6 to 12 months of being diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and being put on pain medication. And when you do that, that is a recipe for disaster. Where are they going to do after that? They're going to have to be managed by a pain doctor the rest of their life. And the problem is, if you continue to take those pain medications, eventually they quit working and you go something stronger and stronger. But then eventually, you know, 10 years later, 20 years later, you got nothing left. Now what are we going to do? So I'm not anti-pain medicine. I'm anti-wrong drugs, too many drugs, and drug-only mentality. Because there is a better way. Fibromyalgia is not due to a drug deficiency. Fibromyalgia is due to a breakdown in the body's ability to be able to self-regulate itself. It's a problem in the HPA axis, the hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenals, that create a medical condition called allodynia, or low pain threshold. And that's brought on largely by stress. It can be chronic stress. It can be an acute stress. It can be years of stress. It can be from a virus, it can be from a surgery, it can be from all sorts of things, a hysterectomy, all these things can come along, and eventually it bankrupts the person's stress-coping chemicals and the body's ability to self-regulate itself. And the hypothalamus regulates our body's system, so it regulates our digestive system, our endocrine system, which is our thyroid, our adrenal glands, our estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, all those hormones. It regulates our sleep-wake cycle. It regulates our pain. It regulates our body temperature, whether we're hot or cold. It regulates our cardiovascular system. And so when the hypothalamus gets under too much stress, it starts to have problems regulating these different systems. And every system is connected to the other system, by the way. That's part of the problem. Is that when you have fibro and so many symptoms, the next thing you know, you're seeing 5 different doctors, and none of them are talking to each other, and they're all recommending their different drug du jour, you know, their protocol for you. The GI doctor's got you on one thing, the neurologist has got you on one thing, the psychiatrist has got you on one thing, pain doctor's got you on something else, and then your PCP, your primary care doctor's got you on something else. They don't talk to each other. Well, the body talks to each other. The way God made us is every cell, every system in the body communicates with one another. And when one system starts to fail, to have problems, it creates a domino effect where the other systems start to have problems as well. And that's why you see so many different symptoms and combination of symptoms and conditions with fibromyalgia, is that the hypothalamus, which is our little robot that runs the body, when it's not working correctly, you start to set up problems that are magnified and like a domino effect throughout all these other systems. And before you know it, you've got a dozen different problems. And so you can't drug your way out of fibromyalgia. It just doesn't work that way. You got to get healthy. That's really the only way to do it. I realize that sounds simple, and that's why I wrote a book that's 550 pages deep, because it goes into detail about the biochemistry and the physiology of what you have to do to get healthy. And that's really the only way to do it. Drugs don't make you healthy. Now, they can be helpful, and sometimes they're your only option, but they don't make you healthy. That's not really what they're designed to do. So the other doctors that I see that you run into that, you know, are really doing a disservice to the patients is the doctors that they are doing the same old routine tests that they've done for everybody. And part of that is that doctors have about 5 to maybe 10 minutes to see each and every patient that comes into the clinic each day because they're trying to get patients through. And they're doing the best they can, but they've got a busy practice, and they're seeing, you know, some of the internists that I know see, you know, 50 or more patients a day. You do the math on that, how many people you see in an hour. Rheumatologists may see at least that. And your primary care family doctor, they're seeing everything from the common cold to problems with type 2 diabetes to depression. They're seeing the whole gamut of things. But you walk in with your list of all your different symptoms and you feel bad. I mean, you're there because you feel bad, right? You don't go there when you don't feel bad. I mean, you're not faking it. You're there because you feel so bad and you're looking for help, which, you know, you there's something wrong with that. But you walk in and you really feel bad and you really want somebody listening because nobody listens. Nobody understands. And you encounter your doctor and he or she gives you 7 minutes to go through the symptoms that you have. And most of the time what they'll tell you is, okay, we're just going to focus on this one thing today and then we'll have you come back. The problem is when they focus on that one thing, you get a drug for that. Then you come back the next time and you get a drug for that. And then you come back the next time and the next thing you focus on, your chief complaint, you get a drug for that. So eventually you're on a dozen drugs. The problem with that mentality is, again, as I mentioned earlier, it's all connected. I mean, you got to at least allow a person to get their share their story. I mean, how did all this start? How did you go from one day to where you were, you know, jogging, 5 miles 3 days a week and playing tennis and, you know, you had a working a 40-hour work week and involved in PTA and were able to take care of your house and do all those things to, you know, 3 years later, you're unemployed, you're on disability. And you can hardly get off the couch. I mean, I want to know that story. That's important to me because what I'm looking for are clues. I'm looking to hear what could have been the trigger. What was the catalyst that brought this thing on? And if I can catch it in the conversation, that tells me what I need to be testing for. It needs me to tell me what I need to explore. But you certainly can't do that in 7 minutes. So that's why when I do a new patient consult with patients, it usually takes me 30 minutes at least to go through and hear the person's story. So I have an idea of what it is that's brought on this illness in their case and what it's going to take to be able to get some more answers to figure them out because it's really like a puzzle. And all the pieces have been scattered out on the floor. What I need to know is I need to hear enough about the puzzle when it was put together, you know, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, or wherever before it got all broken apart, so I can have enough clues about how to put the puzzle back together. And once I hear that, then I know what testing I need to do, that once I see the testing, I can say, oh, there's the corner of the puzzle. Once I get that corner together, now these pieces of the corner start coming together, and now here comes part of the puzzle. It's starting to come together. Now I can kind of get a visual of what it should look like, and then if I do some more testing, now based on some clues that the patient's sharing with me or I see in the testing, now I can get another corner of the puzzle, and before you know it, I got all four corners. Now, if you've ever put puzzles together, you know once you get all four corners of the puzzle put together, it's not that hard to fill in the rest of it. But what happens when you see most doctors is they do the same test they do with everybody else. They do the testing for you, like they do the person that came in with the runny nose. They do the testing for you like they did the person that came in with type 2 diabetes. Oftentimes, they don't even do as much for you as they do for them. And so my patients are going in and getting the basic testing, partly because that's how we've always done it, right? It's that whole thing of, oh, we've always done it that way. This is how I treat my patients, and most of them are happy, so you should be happy too. And that also leads to this mentality of where doctors actually start to belittle you and put you down and resent you because you're not getting better, and they're doing exactly what the this sounds kind of jaded, but they're doing exactly what the pharmaceutical rep is telling them to do. They're recommending that, you know, this new drug that this supposedly has all the studies on how it helps fibromyalgia, and you're not getting better. So it's got to be your fault, because Ann Jones, who has type 2 diabetes, she's getting better, and Bob Martin, who's got a problem with osteoarthritis, he's got pain, he's taking this non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, and he's better. And so they start to resent you because you're not doing better. The problem with that is you're not normal, and you know that. You're special. You're different. If you were normal, then the test would show up, and it would say, oh, yeah, this says you've got fibromyalgia. We don't have a test like that. Now, we do, but no one really uses it. Talk about it in my book. But what they're doing is the same old basic thing. So they're checking your thyroid with a TSH test, thyroid stimulating hormone, or free T4, free thyroxin test. The problem with that test is that it works for normal people who have a real big swing problem in their thyroid. It's going to catch those people, but it's going to miss a lot of people who are falling through the cracks that have all the symptoms of low thyroid: fatigue, weight gain, dry skin, thinning hair, losing the lateral third of your eyebrows, constipation, IBS, PMS, infertility issues, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, cold hands and tingling in the feet, problems regulating your body temperature, all the things that you see with fibromyalgia that you shouldn't, you know, the bells and whistles and alarms should be going off in the doctor's brain when he encounters this person, say, at the very least, I should probably do something a little different, a little more comprehensive than I do with most of the patients to see, could there really be something wrong with that thyroid because they got all the symptoms of low thyroid? But do they do it? No, they don't do it. And so the blood work comes back, and then they tell you, well, all your blood looks good. Let's put you on some Lyrica. And that's the pattern that's repeated over and over again. And that's what's so frustrating, I know, for fibromyalgia patients, is that they continue to encounter these doctors who don't know anything about fibromyalgia, but are expected to be there to tell you what to do and how to do it, because they're supposed to be the experts, whether that's your general practitioner or the rheumatologist who doesn't care anything about fibromyalgia at this point. They don't want to do anything with fibromyalgia. All they know to do is give you stronger and stronger medications that are more and more dangerous as they go up the line. So the challenge for the fibromyalgia patient is to find a doctor who actually knows what they're doing and then specializes in fibromyalgia. So what I've done over the last 18 years, that's all I do is specialize in fibromyalgia. That's it. So I've written 5 books. 3 of those have been in the bookstore. 2 books were for doctors. But 1 book, of course, as you now know, is The Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, which is now in its 5th edition. So 5 different editions over the years have come out. And the other book that I wrote was Treating and Beating Anxiety and Depression. And that book is out of print at this point. But that book was a book I wrote. And then another book, Heart Disease, What Your Doctor Won't Tell You. But those books were written, but over the years, what I have now specialized in is just fibromyalgia. So my practice is 100% fibromyalgia. That's all I do. I don't accept any other patients, new patients, unless it's a fibromyalgia case. I don't accept patients with Lyme disease. That's not what I do. I don't accept patients with heart conditions. I mean, if it's part of their fibromyalgia and I find that, and I'm certainly training, I mean, I wrote a book on it, so I certainly can help them with their high blood pressure and all these things that are connected to the fibromyalgia. But my practice is 100% fibromyalgia. And I think that's important that you find a doctor who just specializes in fibromyalgia, because it's such a unique thing. It's unlike any other thing out there. And part of that is, with fibromyalgia, it's not a disease. Now, that sounds kind of, you know, shocking to some people. It's a syndrome. And a syndrome is made up of a group of different symptoms, common symptoms, symptoms shared by other people that make up this thing we call fibromyalgia. But it's not one symptom, it's many symptoms. And because of that, we're never going to find one answer for fibromyalgia. We're never going to find one thing that causes it. It's not going to be small fiber problem with small fiber or nerve issue that we have, that propaganda that you hadn't heard anything else about. It's not going to be Dr. Pridgen's study, which is going to fail, about having a bug in your stomach, you know, gastrointestinal tract, and they're going to put you on Valtrex and Celebrex, and that's going to cure fibromyalgia. It's just not that easy. It's what it is the body has broken down, and the body, when it breaks down like that, it's got to have some help, and you got to get healthy to fix it, and you can't do it with a single drug approach. You can't do it, and you really can't do it with multiple drug approach because it creates too many side effects, and all you're doing is covering up symptoms. You're not dealing with the causes. And so we're going to see that the problem with conventional medicine system for fibro is that more and more doctors are going to get really jaded. They're going to get really to where they don't want to see fibromyalgia patients, and because they're not good at it, they don't get results. So I encourage you to find a doctor who specializes in fibromyalgia and specializes in what's called functional medicine. And it's my goal to train doctors in my protocols that I've been using for the last 18 years. And so I am on a mission now to recruit and train doctors in functional medicine, specializing in fibromyalgia, to where that is the main thing that they do. You shouldn't expect your general practitioner to really be that helpful with your fibro, because, again, it's not something that they specialize in. So you can go to functionalfibrodoctors.com and see if there's a doctor trained by me in your area. And if you can't find a doctor trained by me in your area, then you can do what, you know, hundreds and hundreds of other patients have done, which you can set up a phone consult with me. I do phone consults with patients throughout North America and the UK and Canada and Australia. Patients in the Bahamas, and a patient that I talked to in Pakistan. So it can all be done by phone, including ordering blood work, ordering tests that need to be ordered. All that can be done by phone. It doesn't have to be done in clinic. Now, I do have a clinic here in Birmingham, Alabama, and I have patients that travel to come see me, patients who fly in from different places, also patients here locally in Birmingham, Alabama. People will drive over to see me from Georgia and Mississippi and Florida. But it can all be done by phone. It doesn't have to be done in person. So you can learn more about that at my website, the treatingandbeating.com site, treatingandbeating.com, and you'll see everything you need to know about the consults. What I want to encourage you to do before I take some questions here, I really want to encourage you to look at where you're at right now and realize if you don't do something different, if you stay on the medical merry-go-round that many people are on, it's not going to get any better. This is probably as good as it's going to get. In fact, it's probably going to get worse. I hate to be a doomsayer, but I'm also a realist. I know from doing this 18 years and having a medical practice that the prescription medications, at least long-term, are dead end for fibromyalgia. So you have to change course. You have to do something different. And if you're finding that you're settling for life, that life is less fun, less rewarding, you're less engaged, and you're losing your whole purpose of being here, you're missing out. I mean, you don't get a second chance. This is it. And if you find that you're withdrawing further and further from life because you can't get down and do the things that you want to do, you can't play with your children or your grandkids, you can't play tennis, you can't work, you can't go grocery shopping, you can't go on vacations, you can't. That's not living. That's just existing. And conventional medicine is trying to tell people that's all they can do. And I totally disagree with that. If you think that that's not true, I mean, if you think that I'm telling you some lies, go to the website, treatingandbeating.com, and look at the testimonials. These are people who were as broken down as many of the people listening to this call were, if not worse. I've got patients who've been bedridden for months. One patient for a year, and finally got her life back. Now she's hiking the Appalachian Mountains, you know, as a vacation. She's doing that. And I'm not saying that to beat my own drum. I mean, obviously I am. Tell you that, you know, I encourage you to do something different, and hopefully what I've shared with you, or the free videos or the book or whatever it is, that you reach out and be proactive and you take advantage of, and you learn, and it resonates with you, and you pray about it, or you meditate about it and go, you know what, this guy is who I need to get in touch with, or somebody trained by him. What I want you to do, though, is realize that you can feel better. And for many people, you can feel good again, and it can happen. It's not a pie in the sky dream. It can actually happen. I want to, before I take these questions, I just want to wrap up this little presentation and, again, let you know that every Tuesday night I have this call-in program, the same call-in number, same access code, and then that may change. Some nights I'll do all question and answers. Some nights I'll do a special presentation on adrenal fatigue or thyroid or medications or high blood pressure or sleep. But each and every Tuesday night I want to encourage you to join in on these conversations, because it's free. There's free videos on the website, the treatingandbeating.com site. There's free chapters of the book at that website. There's free articles. There's all kind of free resources that are there to allow you to do some things on your own, and even the book guides you step by step. But if you find you get stuck and you need some help, that's when you need to reach out. And if you get to the point you realize, man, I just can't do it myself, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, I don't want to waste another year or two or three guessing, that's when you set up a consult. And again, you can do that by either calling the clinic or by going to the treatingandbeating.com site. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to take your questions.
This is Patty Manion in Petersburg, Indiana.
So if you've got a question, what you'll need to do is hit *6. That'll bring you on the line, and then please state your name so I can call you out and take your question. So if you've got a question, if you hit *6, that will allow you to unmute yourself. And then you'll be able to come up. Hi, Patricia. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just had a question. I just finished filling out and sending in the health questionnaire, and I just was wondering about how long is it to get the phone consult?
Usually, Patricia, it's about 2 weeks. We try to keep it, you know, as quick as we can, but once you fill that paperwork out, which you can do online as you did at the treatingandbeating.com site, once you send that in, you should get contacted by my staff within a couple of days, and then they'll set that appointment up for a time that works for you, and typically they'll do that within a couple of weeks.
Okay, that's good. Okay,
this
that's all I had.
Okay, great. Thanks, Christian. So we got somebody else on the line. Go ahead.
This is Betty Manion with Petersburg, Indiana.
Hi there. How are you?
You just described my life.
Yeah.
I've been
doing
this for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing this for 15 years. And I work, I come home, I go to bed, and that's my life. Some days my son has to physically get me out of bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think I described a lot of people's lives tonight, and that's not living. It's not, and unfortunately, you know, doctors in the conventional world, that's what they're telling you, that's all you can do, and it's not true.
when they tell you that the pain, the reason you cringe and don't want people to touch you is because of something that happened back when you was a child, that you were molested or something, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know it could go back to some of that, but no, Bruce, I don't want my son to hug me until it hurts, not because of molestation.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
It makes you feel like you're dirty.
Yeah. Well, and I hate to paint them all with the same brush because there's a lot of great doctors out there, but unfortunately there's a lot of doctors who just don't have a clue. And a lot of them, and a lot of times I don't think it's intentional, but they do. They do leave you feeling like you feel like you're either lazy or crazy or just a hypochondriac. And so it shouldn't be that way, but it is.
My doctor sent me a letter, pain doctor, that said if I didn't see the therapist, he wasn't going to treat me anymore. And he's got a sign up that says you may need to talk to someone, which it means his therapist. If you, every time you come to the doctor, you're crying and take more time than is wanted. That's on
wow.
a bulletin outside his office.
Wow.
And I don't have insurance, you know. So I'm
yeah.
limited on where I can go and what I can do.
Yeah, I understand. It's a bad situation to be in. But obviously the doctor that you're seeing is, at least doesn't sound like he's very caring. I mean, if I walked into a clinic and it's telling me that I couldn't take up more than the time that was allotted and, you know, I couldn't show my emotions, I'm kind of wondering what he's doing in being a doctor.
Yeah. Oh, I was so glad to find your book and stuff. I've been looking over it, and I'm probably be in touch again.
Well, great. I appreciate you calling, and I really my thoughts and prayers go out to you, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome.
This
so
is
if
Valerie
you got a question, hi, Valerie, go ahead.
I am on hormone pills and have been on them for 24 years, and I'm trying to figure out which I need to go off of. I'm addicted to Valium because of the fibromyalgia, and so which one do I need to go off of? Do I need to go off the hormones first, or do I need to, I've been on for 24 years, and but or do I need to go off the Valium?
Well, I guess the first question is why you want to go off of them. Let's start there.
Okay. Well, my gynecologist thinks, well, yeah, she loves them and she thinks they're great. Well, my internist that I go to says, well, you know, to me, she's saying just to stay on them because of my bones. They're good for my bones. But
uh-huh.
she said, well, you have to
uh-huh.
think about there's benefits and there's the dangers
right.
of it, like stroke and breast cancer and stuff
sure.
like that. So my internist
mm-hmm.
says he's
mm-hmm.
trying to get me off of them, and I was just there
uh-huh.
last week, and he and I didn't give him a chance. He's a new doctor for me, and as soon as he came in, I wanted him to know that I didn't want to be on an antidepressant for my fibromyalgia because that's what they all want to do.
Yeah,
and,
good for you.
Put you on a, yeah.
yeah,
and I don't want them. I said I can't handle them, and I don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
I want something natural. But
yeah.
I had told him about you, and anyway, wonder what should I do first? What sounds better, go off the hormones or
well,
the
yeah.
Valium?
So
see, I don't sleep. I'm not
mm-hmm.
sleeping. I'm so,
yeah.
I take naps every
yeah.
day. I sleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what,
well, here's the challenge. Yeah, here's the challenge. First of all, I assume you got fibro, so... You got fibro, and you feel bad. You don't sleep. You have the pain. You have low energy, and so going. You know, one thing is it's going to be really hard to come off that Valium if you've been on it for a number of years. You got to work with somebody that can help you do that. When I work with my patients, I don't take them off any medication whatsoever in the beginning until I know where they're broken down. I get them on the right protocol so that they're feeling better. I want to make sure, number one, that they're sleeping through the night and they got some stress coping abilities. They can handle stress and stamina better. And then and only then, when I get them feeling better, which takes a few weeks, then I'll start looking at different medications they're taking. And typically it's anywhere from 6 to 12 drugs when they start with me. I'll start looking at which drug is they can come off right away. Your hormones, you don't have to wean off of those, so those are simple. Cholesterol medications come right off of those. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was telling me, he said, I said, well, how do I go off of the hormones? And he said, well, go every other day for a while. What would you think? That?
Well, again, I wouldn't take you off of them until I had your safety net. Because what happens when you go off these medications, you can feel as bad as, you know, as anything you could ever dream of. And that's the problem. A lot of times people are like coming off, and I'm not against antidepressants, so I think it's great you went in that you want to be treated that way. But there's a time and a place for antidepressants. The problem is most medications, though, if you don't come off of them, I mean, if you try to come off of them without having a safety net, then you're going to be miserable. So what I do with my patients is I make sure I get them on the right doses, high doses, right combinations of vitamins, minerals, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and things that actually make the hormones, that actually make the brain chemicals, the stress coping chemicals, the thyroid, that make these things. And by doing that, now I'm treating the causes, and I get them feeling better. They don't need the medications. The only reason why they're taking the medications is because they're having warning signs, which are symptoms, that are saying that their body's broken down. But once I start to fix that, their pain level goes down, they don't need so much pain medication. Or they can feel comfortable that they can wean off Lyrica because, hey, you know what, I am feeling better, maybe I can get off Lyrica. So to answer your question, what I'm encouraging you to do is to learn more about my protocols, and I would do that by watching the videos, and if that makes sense to you, read the book, and certainly if you want to make a consult, I encourage that. But before you start coming off of anything, I would work with a doctor who can help you feel good, find out where you're broken down, and then and only then start coming off your medications.
Now, what did you say to functional? What was that, to find a doctor in my area?
In your area, it's functionalfibrodoctors.com. Functionalfibrodoctors.com. Uh-huh. And then my website is treating, and beating, just like the book, treatingandbeating.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I've been listening this week to you and reading a lot. And my sister-in-law had told me about curamin. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, curcumin. I think curcumin is a great anti-inflammatory. I think the challenge for most people is there's a lot of great stuff out there, but how do you make it work? And what happens is oftentimes people are taking a dozen different supplements, a little this, a little that, a little this, a little that, and they may feel a little better, but they don't know what's working, and they really don't know what to do because they're guessing, because someone told them that if they take curcumin, that could help them with their pain, and it may. And then they tell you need to be on a B complex, and you need to be taking CoQ10, you need to be taking D-ribose, you need to be taking melatonin. The problem is there's so many things out there, before you know it, you got a whole cupboard full of supplements, but you really don't feel any better. And that approach, that guessing approach, rarely works when you got a complicated syndrome like fibromyalgia.
So how long is it, like if I feel that thing out for you, how long is it before you get back to me?
Once you send a questionnaire in, someone will call you back in the next day or two. Sometimes even that, try to really be quick about that, because we know people are really, you know, they're anxious to know what's going on. So, and then typically it takes 2 weeks to get an appointment.
Okay, because I'm supposed to go back to him on, he thinks I'm going to go off my hormones now, and I'm supposed to go back on like November 30th. So that's why I was wondering. So here he thinks I'm going. And I went to Drug Emporium and bought that HTP I had seen and heard you talk about. I bought that. I've got magnesium. Mm-hmm. I'm taking melatonin, like you say, I've got a lot of medicine.
Yeah, and at least you're being proactive and you're taking time out of your schedule to listen to these calls, you're trying to read, you're trying to learn, and you're trying to do something different. So at least you're being proactive. I think the quandary is that it's hard to put it all together sometimes when you're really broken down, and putting it all together is what doctors who practice like I do, that's what we do. It takes all the guesswork out of it.
Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thanks for your question. So we got. If you got a question, if you'll hit *6, that'll bring you on the line, and I'm happy to take your question tonight.
Hello, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, I read your book probably a year ago, and got onto quite the journey. I have been working with a functional medicine specialist now for several months. My chiropractor led me to this person, and I felt like it was where I needed to be at the time. Long story short, we're working well together. He's slowly getting on the right path. I think he's unfortunately learning with me, whereas if I had called you for a consult, you would have put me right on the path a lot quicker. But that being said, if I were to work with him and get as good as I felt I could get, since I've already invested time and money with this person and have some final touches that I needed, would you be willing to, if you worked with me, accept, any test results, et cetera, that he gave me? Would that be a problem? Have you done that in the past with any other patients?
I'm happy to do that. Now, I don't normally work with other doctors. When I say that, it's not that I won't work with them, but I won't, just so people know, a lot of times people will say, well, will you work with my doctor and coordinate, a care?
Right.
That doctor doesn't know what the heck I'm even talking about. They don't even know what world I'm in. But in your case,
absolutely. No, I didn't
mean
that at all.
Yeah, no, okay. I know you didn't. Just for in a broad, broad answer there so people understood. But, yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, great. And I had a very bad reaction, this is my last question, to 5-HTP, and not to scare anybody away because I've read a lot of good stories about it and you recommend it in your book for a lot of people. But my reaction was, and my reaction isn't unheard of, but I had heart palpitations and some dizzy spells with it. I didn't tolerate it. Unfortunately, at first, I felt that it did help me. And when I say at first, mm-hmm. I mean for maybe a couple of weeks. Melatonin doesn't work for me very well either. And again, if we work together, I could go into more detail about that. But in the meantime, do you have any other options of what I could try? And I am on Ambien.
Okay, so but it's still taking you a while to fall asleep, and then are you having trouble staying asleep or falling asleep?
Falling asleep.
Okay, that's still an issue. Well, testing a lot of times will show if your cortisol level is elevated at bedtime. So I'm not sure if you've had a cortisol panel done and in the evening to see about that. If that hasn't been done, then that's probably a good thing, and then to check your DHEA level. But there's a phenylbut, which is you can get Kavanace, Kavinace. That's real relaxing and it's all natural. And that Kavanace. Kavanace. And you
okay.
can Google that and you can find that. And that's very relaxing, very calming. So you can use that in place of the melatonin and the 5-HTP to see if it's helpful. But you're going to need something, more, some testing to see. Because if you're having trouble and you're taking Ambien, then there's something really off. Now, to go back to your 5-HTP, so just so people who are listening, because as you said, I'm a real big fibromyalgia, big 5-HTP fan. I think I kind of put it on the map. In 2003, I've been using it prior to that for a number of years. You can have a reaction to it, and the reaction is it can raise your heart rate and it can give you a palpitation. It can make you feel anxious. Typically, if it's going to do that, it does that on the first dose when you take it at bedtime, as I talk about in the book. Having said that, now doing this for 18 years and using 5-HTP for 20-something years, it's so rare that I would hate for anybody not to give it a go, because if it does happen, and then, again, it's rare, you'll know it, and you don't take the 5-HTP.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your question. Okay, so we got to go over a little bit tonight, make sure we get some more questions in before I wrap it up. If you got a question, if you'll hit *6, that'll bring you on the line. So if we got any other questions this evening? So I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me tonight and appreciate those who came online to ask questions because that helps me help others. That's exactly why I do this. That's why I give up an hour of my busy week each and every week to do this call-in program is because I'm dedicated to helping those with fibromyalgia. That's my goal. It's my goal to train other doctors to do that. I give out free information. Again, you can go to the treatingandbeating.com site and find a tremendous amount of free information. They'll get you started in the right direction. And again, if you get to the point or if you just realize you're broken down, you've been trying to do this for a number of years, and you don't want to wait another 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years go by and you're in the same shape, then that's when you want to do the consult. But I do encourage you to learn more about my protocols. For some of you, this is probably the first time you've ever heard any of this stuff about using high doses, but the right doses and combinations of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential fatty acids. And a lot of people will just dismiss that right off the bat because they say, well, I've done that, I've tried that. But really, you haven't, because most people, when they tell me that, what they've taken is a handful of, noni juice and a Centrum Silver and a one a day and a B-complex and some zinc and a B12, and that's not going to get you anywhere. It's all biochemistry. It's what every doctor learned in pre-med and medical school, and most doctors then forget. For me and doctors who practice like I do, we didn't forget the biochemistry. In fact, we live it every day because that biochemistry, we know if we can fix the biochemistry where the person is broken down with the right combination of vitamins and minerals and amino acids and essential fatty acids, that's what the body uses. That's what makes all the hormones in our body. They come from vitamins, minerals, amino acids, essential fatty acids, amino acids. And by using those in the right combination in the right way, we can do what they're trying to do with prescription medications without the side effects, and even more importantly, not just cover up the symptoms, we can actually start to fix the causes. And that's the beauty of practicing with functional medicine, with a specialty in fibromyalgia, and in a background in a thing called orthomolecular medicine that I talk about in my book. So, again, I appreciate you joining me tonight. I look forward to your questions next Tuesday night. Now, thanks for joining me. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, thefibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating, Fibromyalgia, and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome.